This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up on your feet!
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 23. I'm Ben, I'm joined by Maz, and I'm joined by Ryan Adset, or Wadset as they call him on Twitter. We have just witnessed Brighton versus West Ham, and I wish we didn't, because I wish I was watching the darts instead. For those of you that lived under a rock, there's a guy who's 16 called Luke Littler. I'm not sure you heard of him. He's burst onto the scene like Mika Richards, no, and he's making a lot of people that don't really watch darts watch darts. And I mean, during the Brighton game, I wish I was watching the darts at some point. Boys, let's talk about the darts. That's probably more entertaining. Have you been joining the, worlds at the Ali Pally, guys?
I'm not gonna lie,
year, mate, since I was about 10.
Fair play.
Yeah, Ryan, you go first, because you actually do enjoy the darts.
Ryan is the living proof of Project Luke Littler that went wrong.
Mate, I actually have a darts board, and actually, funnily enough, I got it out. I can't lift it in here because I'll probably make a right mess. But I got it out earlier today. So my dad sees this because he's at work at the minute. I've got the darts board out, and I need to help putting it up, because we need to get on the Project Mbappe, but Project Luke Littler, mate, because it's never too late. Because I'm telling you right now, that kid ain't 16, and I'm probably younger than him. So I reckon I can do it.
That's true. I'm not an actual darts fan. However, whenever the world's come around, I do jump on the bandwagon. I won't lie, it is just really entertaining. You know, the 180, and just like the quality of darts yesterday, the day before, like Luke Humphreys yesterday was just on flames. Was it 6-0 we won yesterday? And then of course, Lukey Littler.
Cool hand Luke. I know.
And Lukey Littler, he was unbelievable. He's just so good for, like, I know we don't want to say it, but for a 16-year-old, he is incredible.
16?
Yes. So, as a casual...
I know he's 16. That's mental.
Oh, wait, you learn something new every day, Ryan. You learn something new every day.
Also, he's 27. Oh, he's 27.
Mate,
sorry,
crazy.
Oh, you go. You go, Ryan.
he is 27, Ben. That's it. That's like, you're spot on. No, I was going to say, did you know Dan Burn's 6'7", but it's gone flat now, so now I've got to make a dead joke after that. Put the pressure on me to make a rubbish joke. Ben White played for Leeds, mate. Who knew? Let's get off this
subject. I'll bring it back. We'll see. Luton away end. Also, the former Atletico Madrid stadium used to have a motorway underneath it. I don't know if you guys knew. Will Steele as well. He used to get fined every single time he was management. Also, the slow motion guy. I don't know if you saw that video. That's probably another one of them. But let me just quickly say, he's...
Mate,
Luke
apparently
Littler's
Matoma has a... Oh, has a thing in dribbling. That's insane.
If you don't know any of these, you've all lived under a rock. Yeah, I do apologise. Last one, though. Yeah, he's actually 17, Luke Littler, on the 27th of Jan. I was doing my research today. So we can finally use the in-betweeners meme of him going, "You're 17. Yeah, just look a bit older." There's looking older, and then there's that. So you actually can't use that when that happens. One last thing on the darts before we get onto the boring football. Even my mum requested to watch the darts during dinner, which was just insane. Like, shout out to mum for doing that, because she was reacting to every single dart that was thrown, and we all look at each other like, what the fuck is going on? Like, if you told me a week ago that my mum was going to be reacting to the darts whilst dinner, which is sacred in our household, you can't be watching TV or get the phones up. She wanted the laptop on the table to watch darts.
It's the magic of the cup, Ben. It's the magic of the cup.
Brilliant.
It's beauty. Luke Little has brought families together, so shout out to him. right, let's move on to the really boring football. I'm sorry. If you did go, I'm sorry.
So negative.
Oh, yeah, I'm so negative. I can't wait for those comments. No, it was promising in the fact that we had all these chances. That was nice to see, but it did feel a bit like Graham Potter, Brighton, the amount of chances we did miss. But there's reasons why we did miss those, and we'll probably get into them. But Ryan, what did you make of that first half?
Talking about things that we miss, mate. And to be fair, this is one that I actually did agree to miss. So I was kind of happy about it in the end. But I'll be a bit positive, actually. And the reason I say that is I look at the team that we had out. And this is no disrespect to who we got out there. But it is on a pretty much whole second side. And I think that on the basis of that, we've got the likes of Jack Hinchwood coming in. You've got Webster back in after so long. I had a good game, by the way, not in good fitness either, as the Zerbi said afterwards. You've got Stupinian, not fit enough to start, but did because for the sake of the team. When I look at what we've got, I just think, you know, fair play. I mean, it's the best 0-0 that we've probably ever had in the sense of...
Fair play.
Look at what we had. We had nothing.
And
left.
A clean sheet.
And a clean sheet. But mate, we should have won. We should have won the game. And I think that's what's the credit, is we should have won. And to go out with the team that we had, Wilder left wing, who's been really good, by the way. It's a great performance. It's a great result, to be honest.
This new James Milner, when he doesn't play in defence, is literally like a new signing. I was annoyed that I couldn't come on the last pod, but because I really wanted to eat my own words and hold my hands up because I've slated him so much. More so the fact that when he's playing in defence, and I've always said probably play him in midfield, he's going to be better. But still, it's such a relief to see him. He's actually still got it because I thought, oh, this guy's finished. But mate, when he's playing left mid, somehow he's like running the show still. He's unbelievable for the past two games. Again, when he's not playing in defence where he should be playing at 38 years old. But so yeah, I just wanted to give him his credit because again, what a performance. And that link up, Pervis Estupiñán. Who knew? Who would have thought? James Milner, Pervis Estupiñán linking up on the Brighton left-hand side, Maz. But yeah, what have you made of him the past couple of games, and obviously against West Ham?
Yeah, mate. Against Spurs, he was fantastic. And again, yeah, against West Ham, he was brilliant. And I think you both touched on it. Like, just to see him in his more natural position, I think that's what we needed. And he's just not good enough at left-back and, you know, full-back, unfortunately. It's just not his position. I think he played there maybe when he was in his Leeds days, maybe, like really back early.
I think it was more Liverpool when he was there.
Was it Liverpool?
When full-back, yeah.
Basically, he hasn't played there for a long time, and also it's just not his natural position, in my opinion. So, yeah, he's been fantastic past couple of games. Really good to see him taking that role. My only thing on this is, actually, and I wanted to bring this up for both of you, is with obviously Milner playing, and he's playing really, really well, I've been interested to see Dahoud's not had a sniff in the last, basically since he got sent off, which, in my opinion, I sort of can maybe see why De Zerbi's done what he's done, but are you both surprised that, yeah, Dahoud's not pretty much seen 1 minute, I don't think, since... He got sent off against, who was it?
Sheffield United.
Sheffield United, that's it.
Yeah. No, I'll take this. Yeah, I think it's been pretty... It was pretty surprising because I feel like he was starting to get good in the team. He had a couple run of games and then he thought, oh, maybe he's going to start featuring a lot more. And then, yeah, he's literally fallen off the face of the earth. God knows what's happened. I don't think he's ever mentioned about it being due to injuries or anything like that.
I'm a bit perplexed.
Really, really strange one. Maybe just because of the injuries that we've got in defence and that sort of thing, maybe we can't afford to have more of a technical player like that and you want someone that's maybe more, I don't know, more defensive, would you say, Billy Gilmore is than Dahoud, I'd probably say. So maybe you'd edge him that way just to kind of, again, the commentator said it, that we're filling, we're putting square pegs in, I don't know what saying is, but yeah.
Essentially what
we've been doing. I feel like maybe Dahoud can't get into the team because we've been trying to do that and we've got to make sacrifices with technical players and maybe have more defensive players in that those sorts of positions. I don't know. That could be it.
I mean, yeah, and it's also the fact that when you look at Gross, he's not better than Gross, and then you look at Gilmore and he's not better than Gilmore. So I think, you know, to be really, really harsh, it's just not good enough to be in that team at the moment. So I think, yeah, as you say, Gilmore's so much better at sort of breaking up the play and dictating it. I just don't. I want to see more from Dahoud. I think most people probably do, and I don't think we've really seen enough from him to warrant starting, let alone really, I don't know, knocking either of the two arguably our best players out of the team.
My only thing is, I agree with you both. I don't think he should be starting at all. However, not to even come off the bench has surprised me, because obviously Yakimoto's been coming off the bench quite a bit now. And Belema here and there, obviously didn't come on yesterday, but he's been coming on as well. So it's just, yeah, I'm just interested, like, as to why he's not even getting maybe the last five or last 10 seeing out the games, because he's quite good at, well, on his day, he's quite good at ball retention, like keeping the ball. He's quite a slick passer. So I would have thought from that aspect, maybe he would have got a time. But yeah, I was just interested because, I haven't seen him play since he got sent off, which, I'm not going to lie, that day against Sheffield United, it did annoy me a lot. The fact that it was a stupid thing to do, and he ultimately cost us that game against Sheffield United, in my opinion. So yeah, I don't know. Is it deserving, like, punishing him? I don't know, but yeah.
It's also going to be interesting to see when we do eventually get another midfielder, because we're all praying for that. We do, maybe not in January, but probably in the summer. It'll be another person that he's got to get past, because you've got to think the next centre mid we buy surely is going to be like a first team ready one, because I can't see us going on with this sort of midfield if people maybe age and that sort of thing. Surely, because we still, like we said all the time, we still haven't replaced Caicedo, so. You've got to think that the next one we bring in is going to be at a high calibre. And where's he going to fit in? Will he be leaving or go on loan? Because I know we got him for a free. Maybe we sell him for a few million back to the Bundesliga. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen for Dahoud, unless he gets a run of games through to some injuries maybe. But obviously we don't want that to happen. Do you think, Ryan, maybe if it carries on like this, he'll be gone in the summer already?
Yeah, it's very rare we have a conversation like this, isn't it, really? We haven't really had a player that's come in and just not hit the ground running. But unfortunately, I just don't see it with him at the moment, anyway. This could come back and completely surprise all of us come April, May. But at the moment, I'd be surprised if it does. But I hope for the sake of him and for the sake of the team, he does surprise me. But I just think at the moment, Gilmore's playing very well. Gross is now being legend. I just don't see where he gets in that team unless he somehow muscles up a little bit and can put a challenge in. But at the moment, he's just not that caliber, is he, really? And yeah. I think he's more of a luxury player, perhaps, with a Caicedo, but we don't have a Caicedo, so unfortunately he's not there.
Let us know in the comments, because I think some people might say he probably hasn't had a fair shot, a fair run of games to prove who he is. Mate, I probably would sit on that
could
side.
It could be hard.
Yeah, I'd sit on that side of the argument. Maybe he hasn't had the chance to show what he's got and or had a good run of games. But let's get back to the first half. But we had some decent possession at the beginning, didn't really do too much with it. And then towards the end of the second half, West Ham really came in and I thought, oh God, we're going to concede very, very soon. But Jason Steele, who I was surprised to see start, by the way, because I thought maybe you'd put Verbruggen in for the corners with a lot more of a taller team that West Ham have, physical team that West Ham have. But he made a couple of decent saves. I know one of them was Bowen's, which ended up being offside, but he tipped onto the post. I thought that was a really good save. Shortly after that, I think James Ward-Prowse had an effort. But yeah, Maz, were you surprised to see Steele start? Or do you just never really know with De Zerbi these days?
Yeah, I think you never really know. But I wasn't actually that surprised, considering I thought he had quite a good game, apart from obviously the two goals that we conceded. I thought he was pretty good against Spurs in terms of his distribution and just I couldn't fault him for anything really, unless I'm being missed. Maybe the Davis goal, maybe, I don't know. But look, in general, I think he had a pretty decent game. I don't think it was he didn't drop like a clanger and you think, oh, let's get Verbruggen back in. So I wasn't surprised from that element. I still would have probably gone for Verbruggen just because I want to see him get more games. I want to get more experience. I think he is the future. I think he is the number one Brighton keeper, in my opinion. But I trust De Zerbi in the fact that if he thinks Steele right now is better than him, then I'm all for it. But to answer your question, I wasn't surprised as such. Really good save, like you said, from the Ward-Prowse chance. Tipped it onto the post. I know it was offside, but yeah, good save to make. And getting a first clean sheet, hopefully that does him wonders and hopefully just does our whole team that sort of confidence boost just defensively, knowing that, like Ryan said, with a sort of second string outfit, we can get a draw, albeit against a very different West Ham side. We have to say they were missing Paqueta and Kudus, who were their two most influential players. We've got to admit, you know, going forward, they didn't really offer that much. I thought we created so many chances. Obviously, the gross chance in the first half, the header.
Yeah, I was going to go to that.
Either side of the keeper.
You know, that happened twice as well. Second half, yeah. Pedro had one where it looked straight at the keeper. And it's so obvious to say either side of the keeper and it goes in, and it really does. But we all talk about Areola in a bit because he was incredible. I did want to mention, first clean sheet. Ryan, was it because Lewis Dunk didn't start? Probably, you know. The evidence is there. Lewis Dunk didn't start. We get a first clean sheet in the Premier League.
West Ham were offering absolutely nothing, mate. They wouldn't have scored if we played another 2 hours of that football match, to be fair. They were there for a draw, and that was it. We should have buried them, really. I mean, I think the chance we had, you say the João Pedro one, the Moda one was criminal. The gross one in the first half was awful. I think those sort of moments, you got to score. And I think Gross gets that header on target and completely the game's different. I know it was on target technically, but it should have gone in. If he scores that, it's a different game. I thought actually overall, the amount of chances we had, I think we had a 2.58 XG, which is very good. I mean, it's very good what we got. So I think we genuinely coached a 3 or 4 nil. And I think the clean sheet aspect just down to the fact they didn't do nothing. But I do give full credit to JP because he's been absolutely brilliant alongside Adam Webster, who was really good as well. So it's good to have Webster come in because one thing that really annoys me about the modern social media stuff is that when a team gets announced, everyone's just on Twitter bashing the 11. And they'll just want to hate on Webster. They'll want to hate on someone. There'll be Steele or Webster or something, and then it'll just be bashing him. Yeah. Whereas it's just not helpful, is it? Like it's just a bit draining, to be fair. So it's good to see Webster have a good game because he's a great player, as we all know. We had a good performance.
Just on that as well, defensively, I thought, shout out to every single, like I tweeted about it yesterday, Estupiñán, the fact he played 45 minutes against Spurs. After a massive layoff, coming, you know, getting injured, then getting re-injured in the Europa League game, and then coming back for 45 minutes against Spurs. I thought he was fantastic down the left-hand side. Jack Hinshelwood, again, fantastic. Like Ryan said, Van Hecker, brilliant. And Webster as well, to be fair to him. There was a few moments, I'm not going to lie, he had a few...
In the first half.
Yeah,
he looked like he was getting his legs crossed.
and a few misplaced passes as well, I saw. But again, credit to him. Again, been out for a long, long time. So yeah, I think that whole back four, or even back five, were brilliant last night. And yeah, credit, you know, the least they deserved was a clean sheet. And also, I agree with Ryan, we should have scored 2-3. We could have easily have just cut that game, put that game to bed. But yeah, just like you said, Ben, earlier, it was sort of like, you know, reminiscent of the Potter days where we created so many chances, just couldn't put it in the back of the net. But again, lots of positives. I don't want it to be like a negative thing.
It's, no, it's
I think
true.
We look way the better team. And West Ham just didn't look good at all.
Yeah, we had we still, at one
look
point,
at it like this,
we had
like one seventh in the Prem. Yeah, we're sat seventh in the Prem. Sorry, Ben, we've got a delay, haven't we? Seventh in the Prem. We've just done well against West Ham. We're in form. They're sixth at the moment. We're only 3 points behind them. We've got so many injuries. It's an absolute joke. I mean, we are by far the worst off, but seemingly the commentators only seem to recognise that West Ham have players out, but here we are. What a surprise. We're in such a good position as a football club. We're in the last 16 of the Europa League. If we had our first team, and this is how I'd look at it through De Zerbi's eyes, is... Yes, okay, he's got to respect the club. It's what we do. We sell players. But he must be livid at thinking. Look at Aston Villa, for example. You know, they're in the top three. They've been fantastic. And the knowledge that we should be and could be competing with them this season up there, you know, with that Champions League sort of spot, just if we kept hold of Caicedo, just if we kept hold of McAllister and built on what we had last season. Instead, we've almost taken a sort of step back in terms of personnel. But I think when you look at the way we play, it's as good as it has been. And I think that, as De Zerbi always alludes to, we've been better this season than we were last season because of what we've had to go through and how much we've had to improve based on what we've got. I mean, that 0-0 to me, I'm feeling like a win. And that's genuinely how it feels on the back of it for me.
And just quickly as well, Brian, you mentioned like how well we've played against Spurs. that first half was one of the best I think I've seen us play for probably all season. And the second half, in spells, again, we were fantastic. Obviously, that last 15 minutes was a bit dodgy. But then against West Ham, that second half, they didn't have a sniff. So, like, I think the last two games have shown I don't want to say we're back, you know, to like the heights of what, but we're so much better and we're on track. Yeah, I'll leave that one to you, Ryan. But no, honestly, like Ryan said, there's so many reasons to be positive. And look, if we beat Stoke, we're in the next round of the FA Cup, we're in Europa, you know, we're doing well in the league, considering, like you said, Ryan, with all the injuries. Life's good, man. And yeah, it's annoying because we played so well against West Ham, like, as in created so many chances and just didn't score. So I think that's where the frustration may lie. But yeah, it's all good. We're in a good position.
Cool. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I know we've touched on a lot in the second half, but I guess the main thing from the first half, like you said, Ryan, was Pascal Gross's header. You'd wish it was him assisting Milner, maybe, or him assisting someone else rather than him having to head it, because it's probably one of the last players you...
Milner back post, love that.
Milner back post, yeah, Bosch. It would have been good, but it's nice to see someone else trying to assist Gross for once. Something you don't see that often.
Great ball as well.
Yeah, very, very good cross. But yeah, Areola was very good, I'd say. It seems to be the case a lot. I know it was like when we said with the Potter days when we'd have all these chances, but... Why do goalkeepers always turn up for Brighton, the big club? Why does that happen? It's so frustrating because you just see these sorts of keepers making mistakes to other teams or not making these saves against other teams. Like Lallana's effort, I thought was a really smart turn and then a really good finish. I thought it was going to be a good finish, but Areola somehow managed to get it. Remembers that he used to play for PSG, acted like he was playing for PSG with that sort of save. It just is very, very frustrating when that sort of stuff happens. But Ryan, do you find, or maybe it's the same with every club, but do you find that goalkeepers seem to turn up against us?
Oh, mate, that James Trafford performance is still in my head from that Burnley game. I mean, it was obscene, the amount of saves that guy made. I mean, yeah, Areola last night was good. I look back on a couple others like Pickford and... You know, we always seem to get the best side of goalkeeper. I don't know what it is. It's probably one of them football conspiracy theories that everyone actually feels. They feel like every goalkeeper's, you know, different level against them. But I must admit, this season, it really does feel like it. I mean, we've had so many opportunities to take wins in games where we've drawn. I think Sheffield United as well. We've had so many chances to take quite a lot of wins away, which would make the league look a lot different, which is, you know, why I'm so sort of upbeat about last night, in that we're still creating all these chances. I mean, look at it this way. We're complaining about the fact that goalkeepers are making so many saves against us, but actually we should be happy about the fact we're creating this many chances still, despite how much we've had to suffer, because the amount of teams, particularly, look at Newcastle as a good example as to how badly they've performed this season. And they've got an absolute war chest of transfer budget in comparison to us. So I think when you look at it into that perspective, we are still in that top bracket of teams in the league. Give us January and it's looking good, mate. It's looking very good. So, yeah, take it away from that, I'd say, from the goalkeeper conversation.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the end of this when we reevaluate our season objectives at the end of the window. And obviously, I don't know what you want to say, but I was going to mention the Sarmiento thing, but I could probably save that for later if you've got a point, Maz.
No, I was just going to quickly say, don't get me wrong, Areola did play well. However, I would still say, like, there were some chances, like Ryan said earlier, for example, Yakimoda, like, he should be getting that on target at least, you know. And again, you could put it down to maybe, you know, match rust or whatever you want to call
it. What a story that would have been, match sharpness. 602 days injured And that would have been quite the story, wouldn't it? Yakimoda getting the winner right where the Brighton away end is, running over to them, similar to Mope's bicycle kick. That would have been so nice for him and for us, obviously.
And that one, and obviously the Hinchelwood chance in the first half as well. Again, he couldn't really do much more, to be honest. But again, you can maybe say if he'd put it either side of the keeper, that goes in. Of course, like we said, the Pascal Gross. So yeah, as much as Areola did play well, I think also it was our being a bit inept with our finishing, which was frustrating. But again, it's not the end of the world. Like Ryan said, we're creating chances, and I think that's the key thing. If we weren't creating chances, then you'd be thinking, well, we're not creating, so where is a goal going to come from? But it was just the fact that we are still creating chances, which is good.
It's nice to see.
Does anyone know if we've got a recall option in Seema, by the way?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah, it's a great shout. He's playing. He's on flames, isn't he?
Yeah,
does anyone know?
Let's remember he's playing in the SPL, though. He's playing in the SPL because we've all seen how that turns out. Odison Edouard scored 800 goals in one season for Celtic, and look at him at Palace. He's not doing the best of things. Seema, to be fair, like some of the goals he has scored have been pretty impressive. I know the last one, he like chested it over someone, didn't he? And just absolutely spanked it into the goal, which is a very good
smashed
finish.
So I'm just reading up. I'm just checking now. I think he might be going to AFCON with Senegal, and also I think Rangers want to buy him permanently, so I don't know. Again, it doesn't really answer your question, Ryan. I don't know.
Mate, he has got a recall, I'd actually really like us to sign Mbappe, do you know what I mean? So
that's the best one.
I understand he's having a good season, but I've seen some Rangers fans saying that he's not been the best. I know, and then someone will comment underneath being like, have you not seen the goals he's scoring? They're like, yeah, but it doesn't really tell the full story. So we're only seeing some of the goals he's scoring, aren't we, at the end of the day? We're not seeing his full performances. True. And again, it is the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah.
No disrespect, but it is the Scottish Premier League. Wouldn't mind him. But yeah, we also had Sarmiento
news. I'm just looking
at
numbers, mate, to be fair up front.
That's what I'm saying. I thought Sarmiento was going to come in and maybe at least play a few games in January. I don't know how it works. And then potentially go on loan at the end of it. That would have been quite handy. That would have made a lot of sense, actually. Why don't we just loan him back to Ipswich at the end of the season? Maybe the squad registration thing was for the Premier League was playing.
I
think if he plays for us, he can't play again for any other team, I think.
I think Brian Owen said it's like a
long-term... Yeah, it's like having a short-term problem with a long-term fix. And for Sarmiento's development, I mean, if they're saying we've got Ansu Fati, Kari Mitoma, I think Enciso back next month, and we've got then Sarmiento to just sit on the bench in spot for... So Fati, for example, I mean, it's just going to not be a great situation. And especially this move for him, by the way, is so good. To go to Ipswich with Kieran McKenna, one of the best managers in the Championship and arguably a Premier League level manager in terms of how he plays. It's a great move. A great, great move. Mm. He's going to focus on getting the best out of him whilst competing for winning the Championship. I mean, it's a fantastic experience. But the way I look at it is, what's going on behind the scenes, mate? It's January transfer window. We want a lot of players if you read Brighton Bubble and OMBHAFC. So, I mean, look, all I'm saying is Somerville, I've got my eyes on you, mate. I'd love to
that
see you come in the door because he's a great player.
Unbelievable.
Cry more, Sensio. also, just on the whole McKenna thing as well, just because you brought him up, we're not linked with him, but apparently he's like a
future target.
Yeah, future target for us. So, I mean, to be playing under that manager, obviously, if we rate him, I think a lot of the footballing world should rate him if our backroom staff do. So,
do you think we're sweetening him up, Maz? Do you reckon we've gone, look, we want you in a few years when De Zerbi eventually goes to Real Madrid? We'll give you Sarmiento, one of our hottest prospects. Just remember us. Remember we've done this for you.
Maybe. It could be a little
just starting some conversations with him. You never know. Tony Bloom's a smart man. Tony Bloom MBE, is a very smart man. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's thinking five steps ahead like he normally does. But
he's playing 5D chess, isn't he? So
he is. Yeah, he is. That's very true. I wanted to quickly mention Jack Hinchelwood again because it's interesting. Because if we had like a full fit squad, for example, or let's say we did sign Sacha Boey in the summer, for example, just a right back that's going to start when Lamptey maybe goes.
Sacha Boey coming up again.
Yeah, I know. But just using him as an example. Okay, let's just say we sign a first team right back in the summer, fast forwarding a few months. Hit Jack Hinchelwood. Where does that leave him? Does he say, right, I'm going to start being a right back option, or was he going to go, no, I want to be playing centre mid for Brighton soon? Because I know Trent Alexander-Arnold was centre mid in his youth days, and then obviously had to fill in at right back, ended up being a very, very good right back, of course, moving into midfield for England, sometimes Liverpool as well, more recent games. But Ryan, I don't know, it's hard to, you don't have a crystal ball in front of you, but what do you see happening with Jack Hinshelwood in terms of his positioning and where he fits in this team once we've got a fully fit squad?
I mean, it's a nice problem to have as an 18-year-old. Put it that way. I mean, as someone that's only just coming through the academy, and we're talking about if he's going to be a right back, if he's going to be a midfielder, even a left back.
Do we need a right back if we've got Jack Hinshelwood?
We can get away with it more, probably, than we can at left. But I would assume that we're not going to just gamble on Hinshelwood to stay fit for the rest of the for the rest of the year. I'd like to think we go for somebody of some description, because it seems necessary. But to answer your question, I think midfielder is probably him. Number eight is where Hinshelwood, I could see him. He's got a good eye for goal. Very, very good passer of the ball. Keeps the ball well. Good driver of the ball as well. I can't see him staying at right back for the longevity, just because of, I feel like you'd be wasting his talents a little bit as a box-to-box potentially, or at least a creative player. But I don't know. I don't know, because he's a very promising talent, mate. And as I say, to have this problem, to be worrying about where he plays, goes to show the levels of what we've got in front of us. I mean, to have an 18-year-old that can be this versatile is already a rare characteristic. You know, he's like a young Pascal.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, actually. Maybe he is the future Pascal that we were always looking for. But, I mean, if he's playing this well at right back and it continues like this, if you're listening on Spotify, I'm doing a graph that's going up and up and up. And if he does do that, then at right back, then why not stick him to right back? If Trent's done it and made a really successful career out of it.
This is my, not worry as such, because like Brian said, it's good to be versatile. But my only sort of question would be, yeah, like, if you're doing so well at right back, would the manager then not think, well, okay, you're doing so well here, why would I move you? Why would I put you back into midfield? That's my only sort of question mark, I suppose. But no, I think I see his qualities as definitely in midfield. I think, like, I don't want to copy what Ryan said, but yeah, all his characteristics fit, I think, suit better as a midfielder rather than at full back. But he does such a good job at right back, which is like, you're probably thinking, well, why can't he just carry on being at right back? It's a really tough one. Unfortunately, don't have a crystal ball to see what will happen in the future. But yeah, I just want him to keep developing. I think that's the key thing. He's developed so much in the last, 2-3 months. And I think it's just key for his development just to keep playing, whether it is at right back, whether it is in midfield, and whatever he feels more natural to. I think he's got to have a big say in as well, just to step up and be like, look, this is where I want to play, and not to be bullied by the manager or, you know, by other people with the backroom staff and being like, well, you're going to play here for the rest of your days. I think he has to have a say in as well, because a lot of footballers can fall out of love with the game if they're not playing where they want to be or not, you know, doing what they think is true to them. So, yeah, he knows what he wants and what position he needs to be in. And, yeah, just keep doing it for his development. Just keep playing him, keep getting him the minutes, and I think he'll just keep growing and growing.
Yeah, and lucky for us, he's a Brighton fan at the end of the day, so he'll probably play anywhere that Zerbi, he'll be happy to play anywhere that Zerbi wants him. But I think Roy Keane said it, like, no one wants to be a Gary Neville. No one does want to be a right back at the end of the day. You want to be a bit higher up the pitch.
I mean, Gary Neville won a lot of trophies, so
yeah,
I
would have, and he was on Dragon's Den, so maybe you do want
I'll
to
be a Gary Neville, to be fair. I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, you'll be on Dragon's Den. That's as far you'll get as Gary Neville, I think, because I haven't seen your footballing ability. Actually, I saw you post a video on Twitter the other day of you when you were like 14. On. You pinged the ball in the top bins.
14, you know, Fez. No, okay, cool.
How old were you?
I don't want to answer you.
How old were you?
I was, hang on, let me think. 18?
18. 19, 19. Fucking hell. You're the opposite of Luke Littler, mate.
Luke
That's Littler, your issue.
Reverse. Yeah, there you go. No, it waves. No, mate, put me on free kicks. I'm all right. I'm early. But yeah, the rest of it, Fez. I haven't really played football in a long time. But maybe if the people want to see a Seagull social charity event, we might be there. But until that point, you might be a while to see him on the pitch.
What position do you play, Ryan and Ben? What positions do you play?
Oh, any, mate. I'm Steven Alzate.
I mean, I don't anymore. That's the joke. the thing is, again, I've got the point where I've had to answer after an awkward thing. Like, Ben's just said something like that, and I'm just
that was
like,
a good. No, I gave you props. It was a very good strike. You had like a mad technique. Like, it looked. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Describe it. Yeah.
I didn't hear it because I've got such a delay. So all I heard was, you looked 14. And then I just... but yeah, I think probably a winger is where I play when I was like younger in school and stuff. But I haven't really played since I've been in school and stuff, to be honest. But I want to really bad. I miss playing football, mate. It's so bad. But we actually should do that. That's the content people want to see. Some Chris MD Albion content is what people want to see.
I've got a five-a-side pitch near me when I'm moving. Which, so this is going to be, by the way, the last podcast I do, I think. And we could film there, to be fair. Jack Albion plays there every... Actually, I'm not going to say every what day is because people might want to follow him. But he plays there every week on a certain day that ends in Y. So, yeah, we could get him involved, stick him in goal because I don't know if he's any good by looking at his Instagram videos or Twitter videos of him playing football. He just goal hangs and pokes it in.
I mean, I like to fancy myself.
Shout out Jack Albion, of course.
I like to fancy myself.
Ben's just going two-footed into everyone here.
That's what I do, mate. I'm a centre-back now.
I hope you're good. I hope you're literally, good, mate. Ben, all this chat.
Oh, mate, I'm solid. Absolutely solid.
Do you know what it is? Mate, if there's a football challenge and Ben doesn't win... This podcast then becomes absolutely irrelevant.
I didn't say I'm a striker, did I?
Everything that you've said. Clip it up. Ben talking about football, yeah? The next time, if we ever do a football video, I want everyone to use it when Ben inevitably loses.
Get me at centre-back. I'm no nonsense. Shane Duffy. Bash! That's me. That is me. And also the drinking as well, similar to Shane Duffy. Going out all the time. Anyway, let's move on from that. Suchek had a really good opportunity to win it for West Ham, but God knows how he missed
Little being 16 and Ben drinking alcohol.
What? Never knew that. But yeah, I think that's basically it from the game. There wasn't really much to it, but hopefully we made it as entertaining as possible. Ryan or Maz, have you got anything else to say before I pack up my room and go?
Just, yeah, we should have won yesterday. That's about it, really. We should have won the game, but we didn't. We'll take a clean sheet. We'd move on to Stoke. And then, yeah, life's all good. Keep rocking.
Life's a roller coaster, isn't it, Ryan?
It is. It is 2024. I see what it's got for us. But, yeah, I don't know. I want to see what January's
that's
got for
good,
us first.
That's a good idea, Ryan. Let's talk about that. What is happening for Brighton in 2024? Ryan, you go.
Europa League final in May. So I've got to get them tickets for Dublin sorted out.
Dublin.
Do you know what? Without sounding like a completely delusional guy, it's not even impossible. So Europa League final is possible. As long as we finish this season in the top eight and retain this position at least, then that's good. And I couldn't care less about the FA Cup this year, to be honest. So if we get knocked out against Stoke, it won't bother me at all. Andy Naylor can win the Albion Derby. So the Naylor Derby. But yeah, I think that's the short term till June next year. Who knows, mate? If the Zerbi stays, we get a few signings in. We're as I said earlier, we're a very, very good team. A very good team, and we're in very, very, very good hands. I don't think anyone quite... I know we all say it, but I don't think anyone quite appreciates it enough. When you look around you and you see what teams are trying to do. Look at Chelsea, for example, and Newcastle, for example. They don't buy you anything. I think that's what's really important to think of. I mean, Chelsea, that's a whole... An unbiased conversation aside, it's why that fails. I don't think it takes a genius to see. So I think that's why we're in good hands. And 2024 is going to be a good one, I think.
Love that.
I 2024, yeah. I'm going to go with... Do you know what? We're going to be playing Champions League football in 2024.
Shut the fuck up.
You heard it here first,
boys. On that note, roll the credits.
Do you know what? I'm not even unreasonable, mate. It's happening.
I'm being deadly serious.
I'm being serious.
Why not? Why can't we play Champions League football in 2024? Answer
because,
me
because, well, I'm just going to be a realistic, and this is my brain. Call me negative, but I don't think we're going to win the Europa League, and I don't see us finishing in the top five.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. No. You don't finish in top five, like
Top no. five is tough.
But, okay, so say.
No way.
But, okay, scenario. We get dumped out of the Europa League, right? Which I don't want to happen at all. But we make really, really good signings. All of our best players come back in Feb, barring Solly. And then we've got the end of this season against teams. Who's even around us at the minute? I mean, we're better than Newcastle at the moment. We're better than Chelsea. I remember when I said something on here saying about Newcastle, saying that they're what was I saying about Eddie Howe? I think I said that they're passion merchants, and you guys laughed at me. Here we go. So we've got Manchester United. We're better than them at the minute. West Ham, we proved last night we can be. Newcastle aren't better than us at the moment. Chelsea aren't better than us at the moment. Wolves aren't better than us at the moment. So that's a majority of the underneath the fifth. And then Spurs are Spursy, aren't they? Let's face it.
At the moment, as you're saying, at the moment.
Okay,
change.
At the moment, we're in our worst spot in about a year. We're in our worst spot in about a year, apart from when Potter left. So we've got so many injuries. We're competing with United, Newcastle, Chelsea, Wolves, West Ham, Tottenham, when we've got all of our injuries that we've got at the moment and pretty much no squad. We've got no fullbacks, we had one centre back yesterday. The other one came back after an injury. And we're still seventh. And we're only 8 points off fifth, which isn't that much, to be honest.
Give me Erling Haaland the and I'll, 4 or 5 then we'll probably get fifth.
Okay. I'm gonna quickly spin it back and pull it back. Okay, I'm gonna say Brighton in 2024 will get a top seven finish. I'm gonna go with that top seven finish. Any place from fifth to seventh, I'm gonna go with. And we're massive. So have some of that.
I'm gonna say we're gonna finish. I think I said eighth recently, but maybe I think we'll finish seventh. And I think we'll get, this is me being hopeful, I think we'll get to the semi-final with the Europa League.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So there we go. Let us know what you think. What's happening to Brighton in 2024? Yeah, let's throw it into the comments.
All right, brilliant. Going to get battering again.
Yeah, great. Terrific.
Hungover in here, apparently.
Yeah, I'm actually not hungover today. Can you believe it? I can't believe someone commented saying, how unprofessional turning up hungover to a podcast. Have you not seen the 161 other episodes, mate? Have you not? Because it's quite a regular occurrence, pal. I know, but apparently that was the worst one, but I didn't even feel that bad that day, so who knows. Sorry, that was just bantering. I appreciate you watching that episode, but sorry. It's not unprofessional to turn up hungover. It's just my character. If you don't like it, then fuck it off. Anyway,
Ben's broke character now. That's what it is. This is anyway. Great. I don't think I've seen Ben do this before.
Anyway, that was episode 163 or 4. 164, I think. So you've been enjoying them like we have. Thank you very much. Like, subscribe, leave us a rating on Spotify and Apple, and we will see you after the Andy Naylor Derby, Stoke City.
Peace. Andy Naylor Derby. Tag him in the comments.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.